News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the DJ Ritchie Show.
All right, y'all got to give me a second. Hold on. Please, please. Give me just a second. You can lead the music up, Isaac. I ain't got time for it right now. I'm all out of sorts. See, what had happened was, I haven't seen that Brett Jensen in about 2 weeks because he's been out on the road tracking down stories. So, I was chatting a little bit with him, not minding taking care of my business. Okay, all right, we're good. Thank you. And my camera's not acting right. Why is it not acting right? I should have done from home tonight. Coming up in here, acting a fool. I'm not coming in here tomorrow night, I'll tell you that right now, Isaac.
Why not?
I'm going to be out at the Speedway doing I don't know what. I have no idea what I'm going to be doing out there. But I bet it'll be the best of whatever.
Yeah.
All right. We do have a lot to get into tonight. One of those so-called pastors that I've been ragging on, that I've been railing for being of the devil from the pulpit. We had a little bit of an exchange today, tiny exchange, but still, he knows I'm here. Oh, he knows. He knows I'm here. And it may not be a good thing, because I'm pretty sure he's a very powerful man in his circles. But I ain't scared of him. Hey. So we'll get into all of that. I've really enjoyed watching the news coverage of Memphis, one of the most dangerous cities in America, if not the most dangerous city in America. And our feds are going in there to help clean it up like they did D.C. So my man Stephen Miller has gone off like he always does. If you don't know who Stephen Miller is, you don't keep up with politics that much in the cabinet and Trump's cabinet. Now, he's Trump's deputy chief of staff, and I've been a fan of his for years. And I'm so glad that that he's in the Trump administration, because he does not play. He does not play in the least. What else is going on other than me being all out of sorts? We do have coming up. The reason I'm going through all of this stuff now is because I'm not a professional talk show host, and the news talk stuff. And there are some people that I listen to that are talk show hosts that I'm fans of, and they will start their show and tell you everything they're going to talk about for the entire time. But I can't, that's really not me, you know? I don't know whether that's a talk radio, news talk radio kind of a rule. Do the other ones do that on the stage? Does Winterbull and Callender and Vince come on, Isaac, and start saying what they're going to talk about for their whole shows? Giving a rundown?
Sometimes.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you see, that's not me. That's them. And it's not me because I don't suck like they do. No, I'm kidding. Breaking Brett Jensen was in, you know, he just finished his show, and I was coming in, and we were talking about some stuff, the behind the scenes things. And I said, yeah, well, you know, because, I mean, I'm the most inflammatory one on the station. And he goes, well, I mean, I don't know. He said, Winterbull and Pete, they're both really good. And I said, well, I mean, I know they're better than I didn't say I was better than anybody on the station. I know that's not, I mean, I'm the low man on the totem pole. I said inflammatory, meaning stirring up stuff. But I hope he didn't think I was trying to say I was better than them. I'm not better than anybody.
No, but you definitely hold the crown for most inflammatory. I'd have to give you that.
And that may be just because I don't know the rules of news talk radio shows. Like maybe I'm just too, you know, flying by the seat of my pants, just saying what pops to my mind. But yeah, I mean, I don't think either one of them would enjoy being compared to me. Let me put it that way. Or Vince either, you know, especially Vince.
I don't know. You and Vince kind of similar in a lot of ways, you know?
I do like him. I met Vince way before I met any of the rest, except for Beth, before I met any of the rest of the staff, back when he was a TV main. And I thought he was a liberal because he was on the, he was a news anchor.
I didn't know Vince used to be in TV for the longest time. I just found that out like a month ago or
really?
So. Yeah.
Do you know the other important thing about Vince that's fascinating?
What's the other important, fascinating thing
he
about
had
Vince?
Brain surgery.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a brain tumor.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope I'm not speaking out,
yeah,
out of turn.
Yeah, not either.
But I remember when how he talked about it when it happened. And he was off work for a long time, obviously. And I remember him talking about it, but he may have wanted to, I mean, I'm sorry, Vince, if I'm saying it as a miracle thing. Good, you know, that's great. Great on you.
11 listeners. Let's keep that between us. Any other medical records you want to share?
I don't know. Maybe I can give, I can give Mark Levin's home address. I don't know. As long as I'm just rambling here. And, you know, I came in here tonight. And I was saying, man, every show this week has just been smoking. I mean, it has been really good stuff. And I don't ever do that. I never seriously brag on myself. I'll do it in jest, over the top. You know, like that whole thing that I stirred up when I was saying that I was the, you know, obviously going to be taking over the morning show because I'm a morning show legend and all of that kind of thing. That's just in jest, but. Yeah, and that's what I get. I come in here being all confident. Remember that, kids. Confidence gets you nowhere. Don't ever be confident about stuff. So I was all confident. Like, man, I came in here just ready to go. And then I got all topsy-turvy with my stuff here and wasn't ready. But I'm going to get it. I'm all good now, but I'm sweating. Like a you know what, in church. A not so nice woman in church.
Like Jamal Bryan in church.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, that's who we'll be talking about later. So, all right, let's take a break. Let's regroup. If you got something you want to say, and I get it now, if you're one of the complainers, you're one of the TJ haters, you got something to hate on tonight already, then I'm all out of sorts. I'll give you that. 704-570-1110 is the number. Text or call. You can text thanks to Liberty Buick GMC. More coming up. Hang on.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Late, live, and local. It's the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Having a ball. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, lady and gentlemen, for listening. Couldn't wait to get here to you tonight. I really do enjoy it so much. It's my new passion, as the liberals say. It's my passion. It's my otherness. All right, so stuff going on with Antifa, and I am absolutely loving it. We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. But first, I got to tell you, I'm feeling so much better about myself right now. Not just, you know, not saying that I'm feeling better because I look so good. It's not that. I'm feeling better about myself because I feel younger and stronger now that I've been going to Low Country Male. Low Country Male is awesome. Listen, guys, if you have the men's, I mean, not guys as in the just the general group, but men's, if you are feeling like you are just lethargic all the time and you're tired of people telling you, oh, man, you're acting like an old man and you're moaning and groaning every time you have to get up out of the chair. Listen, make an appointment at Low Country Male because Low Country Male, they can do for you what they've been doing for me. I had the comprehensive testosterone lab work done, which right now, by the way, is only $150, and they do the complete workup. They found out that that I have low testosterone, and that's the treatments that I've been on, and it's working like a champ. I just turned 56, and I don't even feel like that at all. I didn't even realize it was my birthday. I wonder if I had a cake, if it would only have just a few candles on it, because that's how young I feel. And they have the $100 off your first month of the NAD plus injections that boosts energy and improves focus and slows aging and all that. And then $7 a day for the testosterone TRT plan, which also, you know, along with raising your testosterone, your energy and everything, it helps sexual performance and libido. I'm telling you, stop walking through life feeling like an old man. Get to Low Country Male as soon as possible. Just, I mean, what's it going to hurt to go and just talk to them? That's the first thing. LowCountryMail.com is where you make an appointment. They have 8 locations in South Carolina. Fort Mill is the one that I go to. You probably will too. LowCountryMail.com. Go see them today and stop feeling like an old man. Okay. Antifa, you know, they're big and bad and all of that stuff. And then they were declared a domestic terrorist organization by Trump. But then nothing really happened as far as the way that they were dealt with. You know, these uncivilized heathens are still out in the streets blocking ICE agent vehicles and swarming the ICE facilities and all of that. And while at first there were more agents that were pushing them back and saw some, I guess you call them, tear gas canisters going off and things like that. That's not what we wanted as the American people who are law-abiding citizens. We wanted to see some heads get busted. Some people made, examples of. Because these little snot-nosed, rock-gut heathens, these little brats out there running around in their masks and their helmets and all causing chaos under the title anti-fascists, knowing that they are full-fledged Marxist communists. We wanted an example made of them to where everybody sitting at home that gets that call from the Antifa leaders to say, hey, we need you to show up for work in this town would say, I don't think so. I'm going back to stocking the grocery shelves. I'm not getting that Soros money to go stand out in the middle of ICE agents and taunt them and everything now. I've seen what happened to the Portland people, which, by the way, doesn't Portland just sound like a miserable, disgusting place? Who in the world would want to go to Portland? Because it's lawless. Well, it was. But here's an article that I found from, it's by David Marcus. It was at foxnews.com. It says, for the first time in months, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency building here was not besieged Wednesday night by Antifa creeps who have clearly been scared off by the Trump administration's increased presence on the ground. It's a funny thing, just as in President Trump's crackdown on crime in Washington, D.C., once there are consequences for breaking the law, things get awfully quiet. It was obvious I was approached as I approached the facility just before nightfall that something had changed. Gone, for the most part, was the menacing gang of masked Antifa with their sticks and flagpoles that I'd seen prowling the previous night. In the place of the black-clad helmeted ne'er-do-wells were 6 disabled protesters, some in wheelchairs, one blind, who were clearly put there to make Trump's deployment of ICE officials and the National Guard seem ridiculous and unneeded. 2 of the 3 Antifa thugs in their masks and helmets lingered, but on the periphery. No longer the hunters, they had become the hunted. That is awesome. Awesome. And isn't it odd that once people are shown that we're not putting up with your crap anymore, guess what you don't get? Their crap anymore. But don't you just hate them? I mean, really. When you see these videos and all this news footage of these Antifa people out there, those little brats doing what they do, don't you just look at them and go, you little sniveling little piece of, you know, on and on. But I want them from now on, whenever they even gather as Antifa or when they gather somewhere in one of these types of protests and riots and impeding law enforcement, I want them to be taken in and booked and given the harshest sentence they can get. See, that's what they do. They know even if they get arrested, and liberal protesters have always been this way. They know even if they get arrested, they're going to go in, they're going to get a little slap on the wrist. Somebody like Kamala Harris is going to help pay their defense fund to get them out of jail. And it's part of the deal. It's part of the deal with these losers who sign up to be paid to do this stuff. It says, hey, if you get arrested, we'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. And it's, you know, it's all a chain. The prosecutors in these big Marxist cities like Portland, you know, they have the Soros prosecutors. You hear people talk about that all the time. So it's all just big. It's a cult. There's a fantastic miniseries that Fox had years ago with Kevin Bacon. It's called, what was it? I can't remember the name of it. But it was really good. It was about a cult, a murderous cult. And when you watch that show, can you Google that for me, Isaac? Kevin Bacon cult show. It's going to drive me nuts. When you watch that show, and then you compare it to the way things are going in our Marxist cities now, where the cult has people in place that can make decisions that will allow the cult to keep operating under the law.
Is it The Following?
The Following. That's it. Yep. Thank you. It's probably on the Hulu. If you want to find it, it's really good. But if you watch it, you'll see the similarities. And just like, you know, all the other tactics that the left uses, where they accuse us of doing what they do, you know, it's part of that rules for radicals, Saul Alinsky crap. That's why you'll hear them calling Republicans or conservatives cult members, because they know that that's how they act. That's what they are. They're a big cult. Led by dangerous peoples. So I hope that this pushes Antifa into the background. I don't think it will. But if it doesn't, I do really hope President Trump stands by what he said about using whatever force is necessary to neutralize the threat of this domestic terrorist group. If they're a terrorist group, we treat them as such, the way it ought to be. All right. I had a little bit of an exchange today with one of the pastors I've been railing on. You know, one of the pastors that preaches hate from his pulpit to try to keep his people down, lying. And not a big deal yet. But I'll explain it to you, and I'll let you know exactly what happened coming up next.
The DJ Richie Show.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
He's radio royalty in the Carolinas and Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Oh, all righty. Woo!
You better look out, because I am charmed and dangerous. The green-eyed patriot. You heard me? You heard what I said? Charmed and dangerous. That's for all you haters. All you haters. Okay, there is a fella that pretends to be a man of God that I've been talking about for a while. Ever since Charlie Kirk's assassination, I've been talking about, because of all of these what I call fake pastors preaching to their congregations that Charlie Kirk was a white supremacist and a Nazi and, so forth and so on. Down the line, what they always call conservatives, which is, it's so boring. It's like you could come up with something else, but they can't. So what has happened now is that there are true men of God who are denouncing those who are preaching hate toward what Charlie Kirk was, and also throwing in there that all conservatives are list of insults, fascist, racist, white supremacist, blah, blah, blah. So the no good preachers calling out the good preachers, insulting them in just the most vicious way. You see, if you want to see true racial hatred and racial insults on display, you let a black person go against whatever the Democrat Party is pushing, and they will attack like savages. And so there is this one preacher that he's in big church in Atlanta. He was part of the, one of the high ups in Black Lives Matter, from what I understand. And he preaches this anti-white message every week. But the thing is that he's not anti-white. He's anti-black, in my opinion, because of the message he gives to black people in his church. He's not giving them a message that is making them better, or he's not leading them in a way that's going to enhance and enrich their lives. He's giving them a message of hate these people because these people are keeping us down, and in turn, they will be obedient to him and the Democrat Party. It's that simple. That's what it is. So he posted on his social media today a little video, and he's so, he's so arrogant, and you can tell he's just got it. Like, how these shady preachers are, got all the riches on him. And the other day I saw his sermon. He was wearing a suit, and he left a giant Gucci tag on the sleeve of it so everybody could see it was Gucci. So he's kicked back doing his little video, thinking he's hot, And this is what he said. Go ahead.
Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. To say that I am black and proud of being black does not make me demonic nor divisive. It means that I am embracing how God made me, that I do not backpedal, nor do I find myself ashamed or scorned because of it. And shame on those black puppets who are being used with no string to suggest otherwise. I want you to know this is not the Muppets over here. Ain't no strings going to be able to manipulate me into believing that I cannot stand under the cross of Jesus Christ, who was crucified, and might I add, who was also black, out of African descent.
So he's keeping up this charade that he's all for the betterment of black people. And he's taking part of the day's truth and spinning it like a good communist would. Now, I'm not calling him a communist. I'm not saying he's a communist. I'm just saying he acts like one, in my opinion. You see, you take that and you make it seem like you're being victimized, you know? He's saying, acting like that you don't hear every day somebody say they're proud to be black. Now, I happen to have caught that right when he posted it, so I was the first one to comment. And I just put, of course, saying you're black and proud doesn't make you demonic. Lying to the people you claim to champion in order to have power over them does. And then I thought for a second, do I want to be one of those that just like trolls people on social media and all? Because I did it to Don Lemon the other day, but that was just funny. And I was looking at the comment, and then I went back, and by the time I went back to it, he had already responded. And he said, thank you for following me. It means a lot. And it wasn't an automatic response thing. So it was just, you know, it's if to say, I don't even care what you think. You know, I'm not going to get into it with you, which is fine. I wouldn't have wanted to sit there and argue with him on social media. But he, in that one little clip there, he's doing exactly what I said he's doing. You see, with a man who claims to be the leader of black people for the rights of black people, for the betterment of black people, he is making sure that the message he delivers to those people keeps them in the situation where the Democrat Party is holding on to them. Like, you gotta be true to the Democrats. So anti-black racism has always been on the Democrat side. So these white Democrat Party bosses are basically the ones that he is following. He is giving the message to his people in his church that Chuck Schumer wants them to have, that Hillary Clinton wants them to have. That's the message that he's giving to them. Meanwhile, the other preachers that he's mentioned, calling them black puppets, are actually giving the message of God. So, if he were an honest man, he would not do and run his church the way he does. He would be more like these so-called black puppets. But if someone speaks up on, like one of the other pastors speaks up and says, you're leading these people astray, you're leading them down the wrong path, then he would claim the opposite, that those, like you said, they're puppets. When actually, if he's carrying out the wishes of the Democrat Party, who is the puppet? You know, it takes a lot more courage in the political landscape of today to speak up like the other black preachers are speaking up. You know why? Because of people like Jamal Bryant, who attacks them, calls them black puppets, and Uncle Tom, and every other name that people like Jamal Bryant would call them. So, whose strings are really being pulled here? I don't know. All I know is my opinion. And I really, really, really believe that the great Reverend Jamal Bryant is not on the right side of things, nor is he on the Jesus side of things. You hear me? Good. Hang on, more coming up.
It's TJ Ritchie. He's America's coolest conservative. Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 at 99.3 WPT.
Hey, go get that podcast if you need to, if you don't get to hear the entire show, or if somebody you know that you think would like it wants to hear it, go to the podcast, WBT.com or TJRitchie.com, TJ Ritchie, R-I-T-C-H-I-E is how you spell Ritchie, the cool way. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. This text came into the show last evening. And it's from a sweet lady. Her name's Angel. She said, TJ, I'm a 43-year-old black woman, and I think your black preacher voice is hilarious. Anyone that's upset about it knows it has some truth in it. They don't want to acknowledge it. Well, thank you. Some crazy lunatic liberal called here the other night and said to tell me that when I was imitating Jamal Bryant, I'm sorry, the good Reverend Godly Jamal Bryant, that I was doing blackface on the radio. Okay. Thanks for calling. Clown. All right. Listen, I am a huge fan of Stephen Miller. And when he was chosen for the job that he has now under President Trump as the deputy chief of staff, I was like, yes, this guy is fearless. And he gets fired up like nobody I've seen in a long, long time in politics. He is awesome. If you watched Charlie Kirk's memorial, he was, you know, Mr. Fire and Brimstone up there. I mean, he was just going off. Well, he was in Memphis yesterday talking about the feds coming in to help with law enforcement there. And it's almost like when he gets going, he just gets energy and he just builds and builds and builds. And I just love listening to him. I love watching him. And I really don't have any any type of commentary with this other than I just want you to hear what he's about and how cool it is. Listen.
To the Memphis Police Department, to the officers that I see sitting in front of me, we are about to provide you with a level of support you cannot even imagine. This isn't just a task force. This is a all-of-government unlimited support operation. ATF, DEA, FBI, ICE, Department of War, every resource we have. And they're not going to be sitting behind a desk at a keyboard. We are sending in real cops with guns and badges to go out with you on the street every single night making arrests. These are people who have taken down drug cartels, kingpins, the worst criminal offenders in the United States, standing with you shoulder to shoulder to shoulder. All we ask from you is to show up at roll call every single night with your brothers and sisters in the federal government and to go out and get the criminals off the street. And if you do that, I pledge to you, we will liberate this city from the criminal element that has plagued it for generations. This is not just a strategy shift. This is an attitude shift. We are not going to live in an environment anywhere where there is a street that belongs to a criminal, where there is a neighborhood that belongs to a gang, where there is any physical space anywhere that belongs to anyone other than the law-abiding citizens and families of Memphis. The idea that there is a square inch of block in this city where a citizen doesn't feel safe is unacceptable. This is Memphis, this is the United States of America, and all that bullshit is done. It's over. It's finished.
How do you not love that? Well, you don't love it if you're a criminal, I'll tell you that. And you know, the thing about Stephen Miller that that makes him so hated by the left is he's effective. They hate the ones who are effective. That's why, even after Charlie Kirk's assassination and the bullets had messages on them about Charlie Kirk being a fascist, and that the word fascist is what has ignited the left in their violent acts recently, Gavin Newsom, the failed governor of California, and also has been voted most in need of a Halls, because he talks like this all the time. It's like, hey, President Trump is like, so he calls Stephen Miller a fascist. He's a fascist. He's a fascist. And that's why I was saying the other night, these leftists know what they're doing. They're not ignorant to the terms that they use and the rhetoric that they slang at people. And I'm not saying that all of them want violence and all, but I am saying that none of them cares. If it happens, it happens. Some of them want it. Some of them cheer it whenever some lunatic on the left listens to their words and goes and reacts in a violent way. Some of the sickos on the left cheer that. But then most of them, your average run-of-the-mill Marxist leftists in the Democrat Party today, just are indifferent to it. They don't care. It's like, okay, whatever. And I think Gavin Newsom is right up there with those. Call Stephen Miller a fascist. Goes off in some nut's head on the left, and that nut wants to act out in violence. Whatever. You see, they're not going to stop because that's their messaging. That's who they are, these leftists in the leadership of the Democrat Party. They're Marxist, racist, and what else? Marxist, racist, idiots. Yeah, well, we can just go down the line. Did I say racist? I said racist. Yeah, they're racist. But again, there are the list. There's the list of things that that are kryptonite to a leftist propagandist. Those are people who are effective, people who tell the truth to black people, other minorities, quote unquote, marginalized groups, you know, that point out the truth that the Democrat Party has held minorities hostage for decades. That's kryptonite to them. They just can't stand it. And then when there's a black conservative, that's what. So it's a good thing that I only have 11 listeners, because I'm not that effective with the truth that I'm shouting here every night. But you know what? That's all right. We know, you and I know what the truth is. And we'll keep bringing it and bringing it and bringing it until they say, hey, TJ, don't come in for free anymore. Stay home. You're fired from your volunteer job. All right, TJ on the News is coming up next. Hang on.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Live from the big city of Charlotte, North Carolina, it's TJ on the News.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. The important stories of the world that you've just got to have every night. Young Isaac is here. Lonnie Ray is here. Lonnie Ray, you're going to be, by the end of tomorrow, going into the weekend, you're just going to be dead on your feet.
Hey, man.
They got you working everywhere.
Gotta love it, man.
We're going to be together tomorrow night.
Yes, sir.
Finally, after all these years.
Hey,
did you tell your girlfriend that you're gonna be together with me tomorrow night?
I told her you're my hero.
Okay, good, good. Okay, let's go. Lead story. Yes. One more time. That's, you know, I'm not a club person. I don't know if I need to say that really. At my age, I'm not a club person, but that's That's my favorite Nicki Minaj song. It makes me feel sassy. Throw my fist up in the air. Singing, hey. All right, so Holiday Inn is testing a new scent-based alarm clock. It works like a diffuser, releasing the scent of your choice when it's time to wake up. They're trying out different options in different countries. In Australia and New Zealand, guests can pick from options like coffee, bacon, and blueberry muffins. In Japan, you can also choose nashi pear. I don't know if that's any different than a regular pear. Shout out to the pear. Rick Ross. Mm-hmm. I love pears, too. That's my favorite fruits go, if I'm just eating the fruit, not the flavor, but just the fruit. Peach, pear. Those are my top two. Because I could see y'all wondering.
I was about to ask.
In Singapore and Thailand, mango is an option. Now, I wouldn't hit a dog in the butt with a mango, and I think mango smells like armpits. You ever cracked open a mango-flavored, what do you call them?
Jewel pod?
The mango-flavored... those seltzer drinks.
Oh, drink.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, nah. Oh, they're nasty. So yeah, nasty. It just smell like a marathon runner's crotch. Unfortunately, these alarm clocks are not available in the U.S. yet. The breakfast smells are not a tease. Hotels are also offering free breakfast. That Holiday Inn Express continental breakfast, man, mm-hmm. I don't know how they get those eggs completely round like that and pile them in that big bin. But woo. So they just supposedly they're going to improve your experience by giving you a nice, pleasant smell to wake up to. I don't know. Would you pick any of those? Bacon, I think, would probably be the best one.
I don't know. I like fresh linen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that what you eat for breakfast?
That wasn't an option.
I'm saying if they had that option, but I mean, well, I like fresh linen smell.
I like the fresh linen, too. But I would also, if we weren't talking about breakfast foods, maybe cilantro. I love the smell of cilantro.
We can just do anything. I kind of like the smell of gas.
Yeah?
I think that would really get you going in the morning. Mm-hmm. Real kick.
That'd be a good one. I like the smell of cocaine. If I could wake up and smell some cocaine, I think that would get me going.
That'll really get you fired up.
Man said gasoline.
Come on, you don't like the smell of gasoline? Yeah,
a lot of people like it.
Yeah.
Those pit lizards like it. Those women that chase down the race car driver. All right, next story.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Yes. Okay, Isaac, here's a test. Do you know who that is? What group that is?
I have no idea.
You don't?
Nope.
I know you do, Lonnie, because you pulled the song for me. But yeah. Okay, well, we'll get to it in a second. The Florida Highway Patrol spotted a Toyota Camry and a motorcycle stopped side by side at a traffic light at 3 a.m. They started racing at speeds of well over 100 miles per hour. The motorcycle hit more than 140 while the Camry was clocked at 124. I didn't know a Camry could go 124. Troopers later stopped the Camry, and the 24-year-old driver, David Stone, claimed he was speeding because, quote, he had to use the bathroom, end quote. That was just a line, though, because he passed multiple gas stations in a blur while he was racing, that could have, you know, where he could have gone and relieved himself. A lot of people think that that excuse is going to get him out of a ticket. So if you want to get out of the ticket, you're going to have to really go all in on the lie and mess up your britches, as my grandfather would say. If you stand there in front of the cop and you mess up your britches, then maybe they'll believe you and give you a break. But other than that, they hear that excuse every day.
I mean, if you really go that far, then that's got to be like an automatic warning. You know, mm-hmm. No ticket. Here's your warning. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Take off.
Mm-hmm. Now, the name of that band is Metallica.
That's a Metallica song?
Mm-hmm. But it's not just Metallica. You got to say it right. Metallica. Metallica. And then I've had people ask me why I always say Metallica. Is because in old school radio, one of the best things that came on the radio when I was young was a concert commercial. And there was a man that did all of the concert commercials that came through Shreveport, Louisiana, which is where I saw concerts. And his name was Bill Young. Bill Young was the voice guy of all of the rock concerts. And the reason that I say Metallica is that's because that's the way he said it. Okay, so I got a couple of clips here of him doing that. Which one is how are they listed?
This is not a test. It's first, and then Time Marches On.
Time Marches On first. Hit that one.
Metallica with Queensryche, Saturday, February 25th at Cumberland County Arena. The group that destroyed my summer stadium show returns. Metallica. Damage Justice. The first headline tour ever. Metallica.
Metallica.
Q98 welcomes.
Okay, so that's all of that one. Now, the other one is just another example because I get so fired up listening to those big voice guys do that kind of stuff. And it's so old school radio, you don't hear it anymore. And I think we should bring it back. But my wife, I used to get these on CD. I'd get these demos of all of these guys and just listen on long road trips, and my wife would go nuts because I would have it cranked and the speakers were just poof, 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 poof. Metallica or doing any of these. And this was just another. My favorite rock band, hair band when I was young was Poison.
Yeah.
And so that's what this one is.
Is not a test. This is Poison in concert. Incredible. Outrageous.
Damn. But a good time, and
it don't get better than this. October 4th at the Cumberland County Civic Center. Virtually everything you can cram on a rock and roll stage in one night. Poison. You want action? You got it. Q98 welcomes Poison. Ground pounding, earth shaking. The super octane rock and roll of Poison. With special guests, the red hot Lita Ford. With a force of a million megawatts. ECTC.
Damn, damn.
Man, that was the lineup.
Oh.
Can you see
that's
Richie?
Fantastic.
Can you see Richie with the long hair going to like Winterfest 86 or something
in the
like
mullet days, boy? I think if they did every commercial with that voice, people would love commercials.
I'm telling you, man, just spicing it up like that. Radio in so many areas now is just it's so vanilla. I mean, it's just get some they call it attitude. Get some attitude in it. It's so vanilla.
Man, I
come on.
I wonder, is that the same guy to do the Monster Jam thing?
He did a lot of those. He had passed.
Oh, man.
But he was a famous one, and he that's all he did all day. Just sit in his house all day and do those things.
You're pretty good at it, dude. You do the voice pretty good.
Do it again, man. Do it again.
Give us a little something.
The ground is already shaking. I remember that was the last line in one of those concert spots one time. I think it was with AC/DC. The ground is already shaking.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. But you don't hear that anymore.
The thought of TJ and his wife going down the road just listening to this on hours of this is hilarious.
And I would crank that. Like if we were just riding listening to the radio and a song is on and they go in to the commercial break and the first thing that comes on, because in the way radio used to be, you would stack the commercials according to the tempo and the energy of them. So when you would go to the first commercial, it was your slamminest one. And then it would in the middle, you'd put the slower ones, and then you'd come back out with more energy. So everything that you did on your show was put together by the host to make sure that everything flowed nicely.
Yo.
And with energy. So when I'd be listening to the radio with my wife in the car, and then that would come on as the first commercial, the volume would be low on the song and everything. And then when that hit, I'd be, turn it up and just start blasting through the whole. She'd go, turn it down. And all those lasers go, AC/DC.
Be on a car trip with your wife, and then next thing you know, honey, your phone is ringing. It's our daughter calling.
Oh, I do that. She'd say, stop it. Because I go, where do you want to eat? How about Red Lobster tonight? Yeah. And I would always, because the place that we saw concerts was Shreveport, Louisiana. It was like a dungeon place. It was just like almost, it should have condemned the building. It was called Hirsch Memorial Coliseum. And that's where every ZZ Top concert started, at Hirsch Memorial Coliseum, Shreveport. Get ready. The three-man band out of Texas. How, how. But you ladies listening now, you can tell how sexy it is, and my wife must just be crazy for not loving it.
Just an hour's worth of that right there.
Yep. You know when I'm going to do it again?
When?
Tonight. Tonight's the night. AC/DC. The ground is already shaking. Oh, but my face. I'm sorry. We're way late here, but I'm fired up. Anyway, when he said... you can pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
That's good.
All right. So we don't have time for the last story. Just go to the break. More next.
The TJ Richie Show. podcasts, and cool social media content. Get all the TJ you can handle at WBT.com/TJ. Now, back to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Oh. That's a coincidence. You know who this is? This playing this song? Isaac?
Metallica.
There you go.
Give us one more for the road.
What's our arena called? The Time Warner Cable Arena, is it still called that?
Yeah, sure.
No, it's called
The Foundation of Time Warner Cable Arena is already shaken. Saturday night, live at Hirsch Memorial Coliseum.
All right, I got to stop Robbie doing that on there.
Do a full show like that.
And it's and I just hope that's translating to the peoples and not just radio geekdom that I'm throwing at you and Lonnie here. But yeah, that fires me up. Oh, it does. It does. But only old people in radio know about that kind of thing. They haven't done that cool stuff in a long time. So there's a guy, and I played a clip of his the other night from his social media, and it was funny. And he's got because I've seen several of his videos now, and it's a comedic choice is what he's doing. He's not just a sweet guy that's accidentally funny. He's doing this, doing what he does as a comedic choice. And, I'm going to say that because he's from Charlotte. He lives here, and what he does is that he smiles in the camera. He's got this really sweet smile, and he puts this soft little tinkly piano music kind of in the background of when he's talking, and he's smiling right in the camera, and the inflection in his voice is so sweet, but he's also cussing and insulting people a little bit as he's doing it, so it's funny. I did see some of his videos, and he's not on our side politically, but that doesn't matter to me. I just want to play the stuff that I think is funny. And evidently New York City is getting a Bojangles. So this is cut 111.
So New York getting a Bojangles. I don't think y'all deserve a Bojangles, but y'all life about to change. No more bagels and cream of wheat. Now you can get you a Bowberry biscuit, a Cajun filet biscuit, a steak biscuit, and wait till y'all eat that chicken. Y'all gonna start being kind to one another. In New York gonna be saying yes ma'am and no ma'am, opening the door for one another, might even start picking up trash and Bojangles will change your life. I'm from North Carolina where it all started. Now all y'all New York and Charlotte can take y'all ass home. Tired of y'all down here. In New York, ain't gonna know what to do when Bojangles open up. You hear me? They gonna act all boozy at first. Yo, son, I don't want none of that. They smell them fries. They're seasoned to perfection. Them gonna sit down Indian style and enjoy themselves. Half of them from the South anyway. They gonna bite in that chicken and hear that spiritual. Bojangles. I wonder, is it going to look like a traditional Bojangles? You know, with the little roof and all that shit? Nah, they probably going to try to jack up. We don't like that around here. Bojangles ain't doing that Cracker Barrel shit around this way. I'll drink sweet tea up there. If you do, get ready for a treat, baby. Y'all going to see niggas on the subway with a two-piece. Shit about to get real. Bojangles in New York.
Bojangles in New York. Well, my business partner is a New Yorker through and through. He grew up in Manhattan, and now he lives part-time in Connecticut and then part-time in Hilton Head. And I have southernized him a little bit, and he loves Bojangles. But then again, who wouldn't? And this is not an ad for Bojangles, unless Bojangles wants me to sell chicken for them, and I would stand out on the side of the road with a sign that said Bojangles this way with an arrow. I'd be one of those peoples. I'd probably do it for a Cajun filet biscuit combo with the bow rounds. I always get bow rounds instead of fries. I do like the fries, the seasoning on them and everything, but I prefer the bow rounds. I do the bow round with any little hoe round. You know what I'm saying? But wouldn't that be funny, though, if New York... I just can't imagine watching New Yorkers walking around eating Bojangles on their way to their Wall Street jobs.
That sweet tea's going to change their life.
Yeah. Well, you know my philosophy on sweet tea.
What is it?
It shouldn't be called sweet tea. It should just be called tea because it's supposed to be sweet. The modifier should be if it's unsweet. That's the only when you should say. Because if you're talking about iced tea, it should be sweet. So just calling it tea should automatically, you know, you should assume that it's going to be sweet. If you want it different in a different way, then you should have to qualify it then and go, I like unsweet tea. Because sweet tea is God's way. God wants us to have it sweet, so that's the way it should be. That makes sense?
That makes sense, but I would take it a step further and just go tea and bad tea.
Yeah.
Unsweet tea. It's just, right. Just drink water.
Right. Clean water.
Yeah.
Not brown water.
I don't get it.
Mm-mm. I don't either. But I bet you, I guarantee you that'll be their least seller in New York is the sweet tea.
Ah, it's going to change your life.
They're not going to order it.
It's going to change the city.
They don't. I'm telling you, save Yankees do not, they won't do it. They will not do it. And it's not a health thing either. Like my little friend Jenny, she's from Nebraska, which is not, you know, like New Yorker people, Yankee people, but it's not Southern. And she drinks 15 beers a day and lives on cupcakes and McDonald's cheeseburger, dub cheese. But she will not drink sweet tea. That's so crazy. It's not a health food thing. It's just they don't like it for some reason. Something about non-Southern bland taste buds. They don't get it. They don't get it. Maybe you ought to go spend some time in New York. Show them how to enjoy the Bojangles. Isaac, you ever been to New York City?
I've been a few times.
You have?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you just love it?
I hated every second of it.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Okay. The number is 704-570-1110. If you want to call and talk, obviously the format of the show has just gone out the window, but whatever. Whatever. Hang on. We got something coming up. I don't know what, but...
It's TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Identifying liberalism and mocking it relentlessly. This is the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Rocking at the speed of light, on the air, everywhere, the green-eyed patriot, America's coolest conservative, charmed and dangerous. Putting the truth out for everybody. All the truth for everybody, brothers and sisters. You got it. You got it. Isaac, we have a little snippet called Cut 115. And I just want to get the message out to anybody, any of you conservatives that are listening who think that these you know, little liberal people are pushovers, and that you can bully them and that sort of thing. You can push them around because they seem like they're little weenies. That, you know, at times they're just like little weenie people. You run across some pretty tough hombres sometimes when you least expect it. And we have an example of one in Texas. One of these, right, rough and tumble, like Bryant Gumbel, rugged, manly men who happens to be on the liberal side of things. So, I mean, you can find them, and you better be careful when you roll up on one and you get too cocky. This is a guy who is a liberal, one of those tough, masculine, rugged liberal men. And thank goodness cooler heads prevailed. And instead of attacking somebody that was messing with him, he called 911. And we have the 911 call. So be on the lookout for these types of liberals. Listen.
I'm feeling very threatened.
Okay, so what is happening exactly right now that's making you feel threatened? What are they doing?
At the moment, nobody's doing anything except for signing a petition. They're taking a very strong political stance that's very divisive, and it's causing people to feel very threatened and uncomfortable.
You see what I mean? Thank goodness he didn't just react in that vibrato that he's toting around with him. But see, that's the, in all seriousness, that is the sad state of the mind of so many people on the left, that their leaders have just poisoned them to think that nobody is ever supposed to be offended by anything. Nobody, if somebody disagrees with you, then you need to call the police. But that's another symptom of the liberal mind as well. And I'm not talking about the leftist, Marxist, Antifa types. I'm talking about that, the weenie types. The ones that are whiny and scared and all that. I always say it's the difference is that they don't have the courage to be free, meaning they don't have the courage to live their lives without the government being there constantly to look over their shoulder, to step in whenever they feel uncomfortable. Like, so there are people there who are not breaking any laws, not threatening anybody. They're just speaking their political views, trying to get people to sign a petition because their principles tell them that something's going on that's wrong. And this guy felt so threatened by that and obviously thought that it was against the law because he was so threatened. He has to pick up his phone, call 911, which is what? The government, and try to get them to come intervene on his behalf to get the meanies to stop. And, you know, Rush Limbaugh used to always, he would have this example that he would pull out all the time. He called it the ponytail guy. He always called it the famous ponytail guy. And during the Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, one of their debates, I think it was one of their debates, but it was when Clinton was running for president. This guy stood up in the audience because, you know, they get let people stand up and ask questions like a town hall thing. And the guy stood up and he was, you know, the stereotypical liberal looking guy, long ponytail, big glasses, you know, too big for his face. And he said that it is that they look at it as the job of the president to be like our parents, to watch over us and to lead us where we need to go. Do you know how screwed up that is? To look at a government official of any kind in the United States of America and say, you need to be our parents. You need to be our parental figures. That is so far away from the how our country was founded and why it's great. What made our country great is the fact that it was built on the concept of getting out of people's way. That's one of the major differences between Democrats and Republicans. You know, taking away all of the evil ideas of Marxists and communists and all of that has infiltrated the Democrat Party now. But just the common Democrat and the common Republican, or the common old definition of liberal and conservative, is the conservatives want the government to do certain things, but the main thing the government is in place to do is to stay at arm's length from us. So we have the freedom to go and live our lives as we see fit, as long as we're not infringing upon anybody else's rights. But Democrats have always played to the ideas that the government should be more involved in your life. Government should be there to lift you up, to always tell you how to live, what to do. I mean, look at them now. They want to tell us what kind of light bulbs we have to have, what kind of cars we have to drive, how high or low we are allowed to put our thermostats, whether or not we can have a gas stove or a ceiling fan or any of the other stuff. And conservatives, we just want the government to be there if we need them to intervene, if somebody else is stepping on our rights, and to protect us from foreign enemies. We don't need the government in our paychecks. We don't need the government. You know, having a Social Security number as a federal ID was never supposed to be the case. Never. The income tax withholdings was never supposed to be a thing. That was when it did get enacted, it was supposed to be temporary. But then the Democrats figured out that if people don't see their money ever, if it's just taken out before they even see it, then they don't get as upset and you can take more of it. If every American who has a job had to sit down once every 3 months and write a check to the government for their taxes, do you think the tax policies would be the way they are? So out of control? No way. There'd be a tax revolt. People would be, Democrats, Republicans alike would be, I'm not doing that. So you see, it's pretty simple. Conservatives, I'm not libertarian, extreme libertarian stuff, all that. I don't get into that. I do have some libertarian views, or views that kind of line up with libertarians, but for the most part, I wouldn't call myself a libertarian. I'm a Reagan conservative, is what I am. Just get the government, be there if I need you. If not, let me do my thing. But when you take people who are, it does, it takes courage to live a life of freedom like that, where you just say, hey, I am self-sufficient and I am going to work for my self-interest to build a life that I think is best for my family and me. And I don't need any help from anybody else. That takes conviction and courage. But when you have a group of people with the mindset of, I can't do that. Wow, that's awful. That's cruel. easy for you to say that you can go out and make it on your own. You've got this, da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't have all of that. Poor people don't have that. And that's how the Democrats end up taking over these huge groups of people like that and controlling them. The Democrats control people by always letting them think that they can't make it without a Democrat politician in their lives. You can't do this without electing me. You can't live like you want to live, or you can't survive without electing me. And it's kind of cruel, actually, to do that to people. All right, hang on. Last segment is coming up in just a minute.
The DJ Richie Show. Late, live, and local. It's the DJ Richie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Oh, man. Is it getting dark sooner? I never, because we always have the blinds closed in here. Because it looks good on my little camera shot here to have the WBT logo behind me, like a backdrop. But if you're going to do a night show, you want it to be dark, you know. So, but in the summer, 7 to 9 is not dark. So,
oh, it's dark out there now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Because you know what they say.
What do they say?
When the sun goes down, the volume goes up. Crank it. We did a segment earlier on TJ on the News where we played a bunch of old school radio concert commercials with big voice guys like that. And I've got at this time of night, probably 45-minute drive home. And I'll be doing it the whole way.
Just to yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I do it all the time anyway. Like today when I was thinking about showing y'all what that sounded like, you know, I just kept doing it in the house by myself. I know.
I'm going to have to practice mine on the way home.
Yeah, you do. You need to practice yours.
Metallica.
you got to get more guttural with it.
I feel like mine's just raspy when I do it.
It is. Kind of coming from here. You need to get way down.
I've just been smoking.
Way down. You sing? You know how to sing?
Yeah. Nobody should hear it.
Okay. So you're not, you don't.
Fantastic in the shower, though.
Yeah. I hear that about you. That you're fantastic in the shower.
You've been talking.
You got good technique, you know. Through the chest first, then the arms.
No, you got to go hair first, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't, because I don't have hair, so I just use the same soap on my head.
Dove from head to toe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unskinted. I use an unskinted Dove soap. You know why?
Why?
Because if you want to wear Cologne or or any of that Old Spice antiperspirant that smells good, then it's going to be, you know, clashing with the scent of whatever deodorant soap you use. And then, so you got too many things going at once.
I'm a big Dr. Squatch guy.
Yeah, that's too expensive for me.
They've got the, I don't know what it is, but it's
expensive.
The scratchy things in there, so whenever you're,
loofah. A loofah thing.
No. It's like oatmeal in there or something.
Pumice. It's got pumice.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they used to call it. There's a soap called Lava, and it's for when you get grease on your hands and you've been out working and all that. They'd say Lava was the one to use, and it had Lava with pumice, and it was grit. This grit stuff in it.
It feels good.
Yeah, but if you use that on your skin, it would scratch you all up. Lava. You ever use Lava? Gojo? You ever use Gojo?
Nah, never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's a hand soap for mechanics and stuff like that. You see, I'm a well-rounded person.
Cover all the bases.
You know, I could sit and talk about hairstyles and OPI nail colors with you, and then I can talk about Gojo and Lava and, you know, cutting 4x6s in the planer mill. So you got it, you know. You got to be well-rounded. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying. All right, so we have one more clip that we need to get to. It is a young lady. She's very pretty, and she is a black conservative with a message that she wants everybody to know about her. Listen. I'm sorry. I didn't tell you which one. 113.
Got it.
Yeah, sorry.
The only thing that pisses me off about the left is that every single time I post something about being a black conservative, they always want to go, oh, well, they're never going to accept you. You're never going to be one of them. They're never going to do anything for you. Okay, cool. I don't want to be one of them, whatever that means. They don't need to do anything for me. Everything that I've ever achieved or received is because of me and my work ethic alone. Every single job I've had, promotion I've had, school I've gotten into, grade that I've received is because of me and me alone. Not because of my skin color, but because of my merit. While you sit over there and play the oppression game and wait for another government handout, I'm out here grinding and working and getting the things that I'm setting out to receive. And it has nothing to do with my skin color, but everything to do with the content of my character. Thank you.
Okay, one point she missed, though. It's the opposite of, I guess they told her that Republicans or conservatives would never accept her. That is the farthest thing from the truth. It's the other way around. I was just saying that earlier. The left now sees her as one of the biggest enemies they have. People on the right, the good people, welcome her with open arms. And I'd say that even if she was ugly, which she's not by any means. But even if she were ugly, like, I mean, just disgustingly, hideously ugly, I, as the spokesperson for all conservatives, would welcome her with open arms. So would everybody else on this side. Because we truly don't care about skin color and race. We care about principles and individuals. See, that's the key. What are you like as an individual? We should all be judged by our individuality, not by whatever group we belong to. Excuse me. But it's so much easier to drive a wedge between groups than it is to drive a wedge between individuals. And that's the tactic of the left, you know, from all of their blueprints of how to win support and votes and all. So you drive the wedges between the groups. The left robs people of their desire to reach individual greatness. We don't. We push people to reach individual greatness. Again, there's a difference between self-interest and selfish. Selfish and self-interest are two different things. You operate and live your life according to your self-interest, it's going to end up benefiting the society as a whole. The more individuals that reach greatness, the better our society and culture will be. Ooh. Them's is controversial words, aren't they? In 2025. All right, so the show tonight did not go as I had planned for it to go. But, hey, it's still a show. It took up the time. And I think that's all they care about. From 7 to 9 here. Hey, is he filling the time slot and not asking for any money? It's okay. It's okay. And you know it's going to be a good night for Isaac because he's wearing his fancy necklace on display tonight. He's got his necklace on, sparkling. You got a date?
Nah, I just felt looking good today.
All right. We'll get a man. Mark Levin is up next. God loves you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. I'll see you tomorrow.
It's TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.